counting flowers on the wall. That don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. It's good to see you.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, utilize the text line. Joining us now on the line, he is the pastor at Pathway Church, the lead pastor at Pathway Church in Sims, and they have campuses all over, primarily in our listing area, in Foley and down, or over in West Mobile. But Travis Johnson is with us. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. It's good to be on with you.
Hey, thanks. Thank you for making time. We always appreciate it. Let's kick it off here. Talk a little bit about you're at the SBC in Dallas. Tell us, what's the vibe there? What are you hearing?
Well, it's great. It's always great when brothers and sisters come together, and the fellowship, the friendship is always great. The vibe in general is, I will say this, is that of the first two motions that were made at the convention, the second was a motion to abolish the ERLC. Presently, it requires another convention to affirm any decision made at this convention, but today the motion was made to set aside that rule and to abolish it here in Dallas.
All right, tell us a little bit about the ERLC. It draws reaction from wherever you're, whatever you're, pretty vociferous reaction from whatever side you're on. But what is it? Why is it so controversial?
Well, you know, it's like to advance public policy for the Southern Baptists in the U.S. Russell Moore was the former chair, and Brent Leatherwood now, and so you see a number of opinions on it. Of course, Russell Moore has gone on to lead Christianity Today. Some of my friends affectionately refer to it as Christianity Astray. Christianity Today was actually started by Billy Graham. And now, to me, unfortunately, it really feels too often like a suppression vehicle to discourage the evangelical voter from being engaged. One of the things that really kind of, you know, tightened me up a little bit about it was in 2018 or 2019, the editor-in-chief of Christianity Today wrote an article telling evangelicals who voted for Donald Trump to remember who they are and who they serve. And so it's some of that same flavor has kind of been passed down a little bit. So that's a piece that's, you know, been widely panned, widely discussed, you know, not only by Southern Baptists, but by evangelicals, Christians, all over.
Yeah, and it just kind of continues to, you know, whenever you see social media chatter or read some of the publications that really, really follow this stuff, Pastor, the desire is to abolish it or show why it is kind of a bad influence, or at least that's the way I perceive it to be, on the SBC.
Well, I mean, if the Southern Baptist Church is healthy in America, the evangelical church is healthy in America. The SBC is so important to our country, to faith, to the advancement of the gospel. Also, it impacts public policy. It impacts elections, local, you know, school boards, city councils, mayors. There's a number of leaders all over, of course. I mean, just think about Mike Huckabee, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, or Governor Huckabee. Well, he was a Southern Baptist pastor. And so this is happening all over the country. It's so important that Christians be just engaged in the public conversation. It's really important that we're clear on that conversation as well. I don't know how you can possibly be a Christian and not stand for the sanctity of life, for the sanctity of life at all stages, born and unborn or preborn. And so those are big issues, you know, marriage, human identity, sexuality. There's a number of issues, freedom, just freedom, period. And so it's so important that we are clear, that we're strong, we're bold, we're not afraid in our pulpit or outside of the church. And so this week is very important in Dallas.
Well, and any other news beyond that, any other thing we need to be watching with the gathering in Dallas besides the usual sort of chatter about the ERLC and what's going on there?
You know, I think you're going to have some discussion about the law amendment, about who qualifies as a pastor, who qualifies as a good standing in the Southern Baptist Church in the convention. You know, I think in 2025, it's in, you know, just the general engagement, a strengthened engagement. You know, last night I was, or yesterday afternoon, I was at the Danbury Institute, Scott Coulter leading that. Of course, we had Riley Gaines speaking. It was great. I enjoyed being there, enjoyed speaking. Riley Gaines, Dusty Devers, a number of really powerful voices, David Barton. I mean, it's a long list of very publicly engaged pastors and leaders. Seeing those sorts of things today, I'll be, this evening, I'll be at Center for Baptist Leadership. Very much looking forward to that with William Wolfe and a number of great leaders. That'll be there, Bodie Bauckham. And just really, I think, seeing a renewed step forward into the public square with the gospel. And the reality is, you know, if Bible-believing Christians would vote, it would radically transform every single state in our country. I mean, even a state like California, if Bible-believing Christians would just vote, would just engage, it would be an immediate sea change across the board. And so you get a feel for that here in Dallas.
Well, and this is, I mean, it's now a different president in office. The politics have shifted significantly, I think, since the last convention. But what's the discussion there about what's kind of going on in Washington, D.C. And across the country?
Well, I mean, okay, let me say this also. You know, you have other issues. You have issues like what's happening in Israel right now. In just a few weeks, I'll be going to Israel. We'll meet with the prime minister, the foreign minister, the head of the IDF. We'll be taking some other pastors over. This will be a question that would be raised here in this convention. You know, what is the posture towards anti-Semitism? This is incredibly important. What are, you know, postures towards immigration? But yeah, it's for sure there is a different president in the White House right now. And that is an expression of the people, and it's a thermometer that gauges the mindset, the vibe, the direction. And then when that happens, it also emboldens people that have felt marginalized or voice marginalized. But we're really not. I mean, we're like the 300-pound, 6'7", 17-year-old offensive lineman in high school that gets pushed around the evangelical churches. If we only knew how big we were and how strong we were, we wouldn't be so timid. We wouldn't be passive. And so just coming into a reminder of who we are should cause us to lean more into the issues that, you know, are dear to us. And, you know, right now it almost feels like, you know, what's happening in California is a temper tantrum that's being thrown by children after daddy came home and is reasserting proper order in the family. And so, you know, seeing, you know, strong men and women step up and assume their rightful place in the public square is important. I think some of that is in the air right now.
Well, and you see what's going on in California, and I guess, well, let me ask you this, and I'll get back to the SBC real quick. And you talk about the timidity. I think is it's just obvious. It's very, very, very clear. But how much of that is just like, hey, we don't think we need to be steering into these toxic political discussions, and that's not going to, because we're losing membership, and you know the country's becoming more secular, and we need to figure out a way to win over more people, but that doesn't seem to be working. I mean, isn't that sort of what's been going on now, that culture for the last several years? It's not a winnable argument for them.
I think it hasn't worked, and I think what it is, on a number of issues, the unwillingness of shepherds, fathers and mothers, to parent and disciple. And so we're going to avoid these challenging conversations because they're challenging. We're actually abandoning our church people to be discipled by somebody else. So there's actually nothing toxic about conversations like the sanctity of life. They're good and they're worth fighting for, but it does require a fight. What have we done if we've, built a crowd, but we haven't discipled the people? And I would actually say it doesn't work. I mean, what I've experienced is that when we speak the truth boldly, we don't have to be arrogant. We don't have to go looking for fights all the time. They will come to you. And just in the regular process of preaching and leading small groups and, leading devotions in your home, these topics will come up. And if we steer away from the topics, listen, if we don't disciple our kids, if we don't disciple our church, don't worry, somebody else will. And that's the question. So parenting is tough work. Pastoring is tough work, but it's good work. It's a blessed work, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. And I guess, if we want to lead, but we don't want people not to like us, then maybe we should do something other than leading. Leaders do that. Leaders put themselves into the arena where they have to say yes to things and no to things. And there's no such thing as a yes man, because every yes to one thing is a no to something else. So we just have to stand and speak.
But do you think it's changing? The mood is like, okay. I mean, is there any sign of this isn't working? This sort of, apologetic approach that, we're trying to distance ourselves from the populism in this country, and we're a different sort of voice, or whatever it is, are people starting to wake up to that? Do you sense any change on the ground there?
I think it's been happening for some time. Think about this. Out at Willow Creek Church, Bill Hybels Church, is one of the largest churches in America. It was, really one of the leaders in the seeker-sensitive movement. Bill Hybels came out with a study about that approach, and he said it didn't work. It doesn't make disciples. So actually, the challenge that we're experiencing, even though that the seeker-sensitive movement had something good to offer, hospitality is part of the scriptures, and we ought to make complicated truths comprehensible and easier to understand. But that doesn't mean we should avoid those topics. But avoiding those topics actually did not disciple people. And then after a couple decades, you realize it when you start losing sons and daughters. And so I think that actually what we're seeing is just the outflow of something that happened for 20 or 30 years. And what I see is a lot of truth speakers standing up, and we all look different. We have a different flow, a different personality. But what I see is the truth speaking fathers and mothers have children that are more likely to walk in faith and to walk in, common sense, and the same thing for churches. And see, here's what I'd say to parents. I mean, there are more parents listening to pastors. Don't be afraid to raise your kids. Don't be a child directed parent. The Bible says that children born to a young man are like arrows in the hands of a strong warrior. And what you do is you place that arrow into the bow, place tension on the child's life, aim at the target, and then release. But if you don't aim, if you don't do any tension, then where do your arrows go? It's whoever else directs them. So I really do see, there seems to me to be a real momentum that's taking place for more engagement and and I like it.
There's so much, whenever we talk about this and sort of, government policy, public policy, if we just have this program or this economic development incentive or whatever it is. And to me, there's so much of this government does matter. Government is a variable, but oftentimes we're myopically focused on government and our institutions. And I would put the church in this category, that it's the culture that is responsible for a lot of what's going on. And we've spent a lot of time, Pastor, on, the gun violence and sort of the spike in unrest, in the summertime. And to me, it's the culture. There's not necessarily a government solution to the culture, that has to figure itself out somehow. But I do think there are these other outside of government institutions that matter. And this seems to be why I think this is very important to have these discussions.
Well, the building block of a society is the family. The very first institution ordained by God wasn't the church. It wasn't government. It wasn't academia. It wasn't healthcare. It was the family. And so when the family is undermined, then it's going to impact everything else. So the government has had a big hand in that. When the government deconstructed and downgraded the family in order to get government benefits, then there is very clear outcomes from that. We can't do that. This is a terrible thing to pull a father out of a home or to incentivize not having a father in the home. There will be a payday for that. And so, how do we get back from that? Well, we need to get the government disentangled from the family and never celebrate an institution or an organization that deconstructs the nuclear family. That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. We do a lot of children's homes and orphan care around the world. Just on Sunday, we had the ambassador of the Democratic Republic of Congo in our church, and he addressed our people. I'll be going over to meet with the president here this month. We have children's homes in the DRC. It's good that an orphan would have a children's home, but that's not the plan. The plan is that every kid should have a father and mother. And if you have a father and mother, it exponentially increases the odds of you not being raised in poverty. If you're in a single parent household, it's almost a guarantee that you're going to live below the poverty line. And I thank God for, we have a lot of single parents in our church. I thank God for the hard work that they do and loving Jesus and raising their kids and doing jobs that aren't theirs to do. But the ideal plan is the family.
Right.
It's a blessing. And so many of these issues, what's happening in LA, what we've seen happen all over, the big cultural agendas against America, so much of that stuff would be gone with healthy family.
Pastor, we're a little long here. Folks want to find you online. How can they do so?
Yeah, check me out at Based Pastor Trav on X. Actually, I did post up the video of the motion that was made to abolish the ERLC, so that's there. Other than that, you can find me at Pastor Travis Johnson on Facebook and Instagram, and would love to connect always.
Pastor, we appreciate your time. Stay safe out there.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. God bless you guys.
All right. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.